You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It is known as the world's oldest profession, but prostitution has certainly embraced the digital age. Consider this. Some 80% of all sales of sex happen online. That item comes from a first-of-its-kind study done by researchers from Michigan State University and Loyola University Chicago. They interviewed pimps in Atlanta and Chicago, talked to them to find out how the digital world has affected the way they do business. Lead author Mary Finn is with us. She directs MSU's School for Criminal Justice. Welcome, Mary.
Thank you for having me.
It certainly, from looking at your study, seems very hard to overemphasize just how much digital technology has changed prostitution, hasn't it?
Very dramatically. The level of knowledge that pimps have, the degree of tools that they use to minimize risk and to expand their market, it was amazing.
Now, you and your fellow researchers actually interviewed 71 pimps. What was the process of finding and tracking down pimps who would say, yeah, I'll sit and talk to you about how I do business?
Well, we actually use the Backpage, which happens to be the online want ad site where most of the marketing to the public in particular occurs for erotic services, escorts, massages, which they now refer to as body rubs, ways to meet individuals for dates. And so we simply placed an ad amidst those ads for services asking to interview adult males who were involved with the management of adult erotic industry workers. We had a cell phone that they phoned in, and we vetted them with a few questions to make sure that they were indeed involved in the line of work that we were interested in understanding. And then we invited them for an interview. In Atlanta, it occurred in a conference room at a university, mm-hmm. and in Chicago, it occurred in a public tea room. We asked them, we wanted to understand, how they did business and in particular how technology was reshaping how they did business.
It's striking to me that 71 of them said, yeah, sure, I'll tell you what I'm doing. Were you surprised that you got that many?
I was. I actually had my phone with me at all times because they don't work normal hours. In the context of doing this study, I had it on all night long, and there were times when it just kept blowing up. There were so many calls coming in. So I was very surprised. But we set up the study so that we would never know of the individual's legal name. And we also did not have them sign any documents. We asked them to use a fictitious name during the course of the interview just to make it a very natural conversation. We tried as best as possible to assure them that, what they're providing to us would be totally anonymous and there would be no way for us or for law enforcement or anyone else to track who they were.
So you were looking to figure out how has the digital world affected the way that these folks do business in mm-hmm. erotic business. What did you learn? How are they using the internet?
One of the questions we were particularly interested in is that law enforcement has really targeted Craigslist and Backpage, trying to identify where there might be minors who are being sold for sex or individuals who are trafficked, who are not engaging in the sale of sex with volition. We were particularly interested in seeing whether or not these individuals were aware of that kind of targeting and whether they left Backpage and went somewhere else because of it. And what we found was that they were aware of the sting operations and the targeting of Backpage, but because their customer base was there and knew that site and were comfortable with that site, they remained there. They simply tried to what we refer to as kind of hide in plain sight. And that is they would modify the content of their ads. They would avoid using any real photos of workers. They would actually Photoshop pictures in. They would hide their ads amidst other types of advertisements on Backpage so that they could refer customers to that particular section, which may not be in the adult services section at all. But they also did move to some, depending on the type of market they were trying to attract. In Atlanta, there was a fairly large gay male prostitution market. And they were using a lot of niche sites, so sites, particularly dating sites for gay men. And they would go onto those sites. They would reach out to people who were looking for a relationship and try to market and sell their prostitutes or sex workers to these individuals who were looking for a relationship.
So they really know how to work around the internet to,
yes.
to attract customers. What about mm-hmm. recruiting workers, sex workers? Are they going through the web doing that?
Yes, they are actually looking at the ads that are being placed by independent sex workers and reaching out to them and trying to draw them in. So offer them, I can provide you with better protection, a greater client list. Let me manage you.
What about apps?
I guess with all technology, that's the new, for any business, the new wave to try to get something that's you can market in a handheld device. And there are apps out there, particularly with social media, with dating sites. There's one called Jacked. There's Men for Rent, Boys for Rent. And those actually have a way when you go into a city, if you hit into that site, it will tap into what's available locally, geographically. Mm-hmm. And you can actually arrange meetups through that app. They're moving in the same direction that most businesses are. And that is, we want to be able to be available to meet customer needs no matter where they are. So if you're traveling, you have this app and it populates it with the types of services you might be looking for.
Mary, what lessons do you think the study that Michigan State University and Loyola University Chicago has done, what message does it have for law enforcement in terms of how police should be going after the sex trade business?
Mm-hmm. I think it's difficult to try to address this through the traditional strategies that we've used in law enforcement. When prostitution was marketed on the street only, there were specific geographical areas that law enforcement could go into, and they would target those areas and make a number of arrests and decrease the type of prostitution or amount of it going on in that area for a limited period of time. What they seem to have done is kind of apply that same strategy online. It's having the similar effect, which is very little effect. So I think the take home is, and I guess the second part of that is that pimps are aware of this. As much as we share information in the media about coordination of law enforcement units across the country, partnering with the FBI to do this or that or the other, it ends up they're aware of that and they modify their tactics and their marketing to avoid those risks. They change the language that they use to communicate to customers about what types of services they're actually providing.
So they're keeping a step ahead.
They are. Law enforcement is partnering with a number of IT and other businesses to try to develop some data mining techniques that will allow for maybe a closer look or a more efficient way of identifying in particular those individuals who are marketing minors, those under the age of 18, and those that are trafficked, so adult women who are trafficked into sex work. And so using technology kind of to try to stay ahead is probably the only way that we're going to be able to have effective law enforcement in this area. It's just that we in criminal justice system tend to be behind many of the crimes that unfold. And so we're constantly playing catch up because, you know, the profit motive in this and the increased penalties that are involved with being charged with trafficking have all raised the stakes for pimps who are involved in that sector. And so they're utilizing as many resources as they can to try to avoid detection.
You also say that as you dug into this and worked on this study, you've realized we need to ask ourselves why people go into the sex trade in the first place.
Yes. I think the sex trade has a lot of different sectors. And some of them do involve the, you know, a young person or an adult woman or adult male or boy being forced or coerced into the sale of sex through force, threat of force, or manipulation. There's also another sector out there. You've probably read about the sugar babies who have sugar daddies, and mm-hmm. there are adult escorts who engage in not only dating, but also provide sex for an additional charge. And so I think we need to think about how we want to view the sale of sex from not only a moral perspective or a criminal perspective, but also from a public health perspective. Sometimes if we look at other nations that regulate the sale of sex, they are able to decrease the public health risks that are posed by individuals who engage in this exchange. And they're also able to decrease the violence that can come about when you force it to be done underground or outside of public view. So I think we have to kind of think, what is the end game here? Certainly, we want to target individuals who are selling minors or coercing individuals who sell sex when they don't want to. But there's another sector out there, and we've got to think about targeting that particular element has ramifications for how sex is kind of that sex market unfolds in other areas. And we need to think of the consequences of that.
Mary Finn directs the Michigan State University School of Criminal Justice. Criminologists from Michigan State and Loyola University Chicago have released their first of its kind study looking at the ways that pimps use digital technology to conduct their business. It was published in the journal Victims and Offenders. Mary, thank you so much for sharing your study with us.
Thank you.